Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 86. Psalm chapter number 86. I generally kind of know exactly kind of how things God wants me to approach things, but I'm just going to get started and let the Lord have his way this morning. Amen. Brother Chris, in the prayer room, I was so afraid that you was going to get over in my field. Amen. I had a hoe ready. I was going to throw it at you if you got too close. Amen. Boy, you got close. You got close. The Lord sure is good. Let's think about something this morning. I apologize. Listen, for my voice. Just try to put up with me this morning. It wasn't even like this yesterday. Honey, we have a real enemy. He don't want this to be said this morning. And I appreciate you being here. I really do, from the depths of my heart. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. I'm just going to read. I'm going to preach out this whole chapter. And I'm going to read the first five verses this morning. I'm going to ask you, if you will, to put your spiritual thinking cap on and see if you can pick up on something here. The Bible said, this is a prayer of David. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Y'all realize that was a man after God's own heart that said, I'm poor and needy. He said, preserve my soul, for I am holy. You say, boy, that don't sound right. A man say, I'm holy. I'm going to tell you one thing right now. You ever put on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ? That part that counts is holy. Amen. That part on that inward man is holy. He said, I'm holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. You can be seated. Let's pray a moment. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus to touch us this morning, both physically and spiritually, Lord, that we might be able, our Father, to convey the message that you've put in our heart. God, these people, they came today to hear from heaven. God, I pray, Lord, that they would be able to hear, Lord, from heaven. God, I pray this morning you'd clothe us in our calling. God, if it could be in your will, clear our throat up a little bit, Lord, that we might be able to speak the unsearchable riches of Christ. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that we're headed to a place where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more sickness. And Lord, I praise you this morning for heaven. But Lord, I pray you just give us a little bit of heaven, Lord, on earth this morning as we look into the Word of God. God will give you glory, for we ask it in the name above all others, the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen and amen. I went home Wednesday night after the meeting. And by the way, I want to encourage you, if you didn't make the meeting, to get online. Brother Richard and Brother Jim do a fantastic job at putting the preaching and the singing online. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, you know why you were here and you know why you weren't here. I'm not here to judge anybody, but it's not too late to hear the messages that God put on Brother Key's heart. He preached last Sunday on Are You Ready for Your Trial? And then he preached on Monday night, Are You Ready to Go? And he made a statement, 99% of the people in churches are sitting. That's what he said. They're just sitting. They're not standing on the promises. They're just sitting on the premises. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Amen. That's what he said. You know, Brother Howard Robinson told me something years ago, Brother Chris, you remember this. He said, if you're going to say something mean, he said, don't just say it. He said, repeat it after somebody had already said it. Amen. So that's what Brother Keith said. Amen. He said 99% of people just sitting. And we need to be ready to go, ready to do something for the Lord. And then on Tuesday night, if you could only listen to one message, I'd have you listen to Tuesday night. Are you ready to get dressed? Put on bowels of compassion. Put on forgiveness. Amen. And then on Wednesday night, he preached on, are you ready for the trumpet? Jesus is coming. Amen. Now, I went home Wednesday night and I was just meditating and mulling over the meeting and already thinking in towards Sunday morning. And my God put four verses of scripture on my heart. And I thought I was going to preach them four verses of scripture in one meeting, in just one service. But that ain't going to happen. Amen. Because this first verse of scripture that he put on my heart in verse number 5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready. Here's what I want to say to you this morning, beloved. Whether you're ready or not, I serve a God that's always ready. I want to take you in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. I'm just trying to follow the Lord this morning. Amen. I want to show you something in Mark chapter number 10. David is the man after God's own heart that made this statement. He said, God, you're ready. He said, you're ready to forgive. I want you to read it with me in Mark chapter 10 and verse number 17. The Bible said, and when he was come forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? I want you to remember that word master, because we're going to get back to that in Psalm chapter 86. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. I don't have time to go into all of what that text right there is proving. But in verse number 19, he said, Jesus said, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, there's that word again, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. I'm going to tell you, Jesus looked at him and he loved him. That's what the word of God said. When he said beholding, I believe he locked in on him. And he said he loved him. He said, one thing thou lackest, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at the saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. What I want you to see in that text right there, Brother Chris, Jesus was ready. Jesus was ready to forgive that man. Jesus was ready to change that man's life. But there was something in that man's life that meant more to him than forgiveness. It meant more to him than heaven. It meant more to him than mercy. It meant more to him. The things of this world meant more to him than the things that are out of this world. I want to tell you this morning, beloved, listen. I can stand here today and preach my guts out, and I can tell you, and it's the truth. God is ready to forgive you. But beloved, if you're not ready to be forgiven, he will not force his forgiveness on you. He will not force his mercy on you. Brother John, I begin to think this morning, as God put this in my heart, what would that rich man give to be able to come back and sit in one service like this, knowing that the God of heaven was ready. He locked in on him. He loved him. And he was ready to give him a brand new start in his life. He walked away from it because the riches of this world meant more to him than eternal life. You see, in the beginning of the story there, it looks like, oh boy, he's really interested, amen. Did you know God gave me a message one time entitled One Thing? And the last point in that message was the one thing of destruction. Generally speaking, beloved, you say whatever you want to, But there's one thing in that unbeliever's life that's keeping them. It might be their pride. It might be their riches. It might be women. It might be drink. It might be beloved gambling. It might be pride and unbelief. But usually it's one thing that's keeping a person from the Lord Jesus Christ. For this man, it was his riches. Let's go back to Psalm 86. Psalm chapter number 86. I want to take my time this morning, if I may, and I want to show you that when David said, "For thou, Lord, art ready, art good," he said, "and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy to all them that call upon thee." Let me give you this. This is just a little tidbit that I learned while I was studying. Seven times in this chapter, the word Lord, it comes from the Hebrew word Adonai, and it means master. It means owner. Did you know this morning that God's people that are born again, that we have a master? Listen, that years ago I swallowed a lie. I thought, boy, you get saved and you got a Savior. And then one day you can just raise up and say, "You know what, Lord? I'm going to make you Lord of my life." You don't make him anything. And honey, if you ever got a Savior, you got a Lord. You didn't leave the altar without the Lord Jesus Christ. Say amen. That same one that spoke to you, that same one that saved you, he begins to will and to do of his own good pleasure. And you can cooperate with him, beloved, and escape the chastening hand of God. Or you can go against him. But if you're saved, the Word of God teaches us that we're not our own. We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. Seven times in this chapter, David says, "Lord," and it's coming from that Hebrew word meaning master. Jesus said this. He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That master there, beloved, carries with it the idea of slavery. In other words, I'm volunteering, say amen. Back there in that Old Testament, a man could be a slave, and then after 7 years, he could be set free. But if that man so loved his master, are you listening to me? They would put his ear up against the door, and they would bore a hole in his ear. And everybody that saw him, they knew that he was no longer a slave because he had to be, but he was a slave because he wanted to be. Glory to God, Paul wasn't a slave because he had to be. He so loved his master that he wanted to serve him. And David so loved his master that he wanted to serve him. Now, you say, "Pastor, this man after God's own heart, David, said, Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy." Why would he say something like that? Let me ask you something. You ever committed adultery? Have you ever conspired to have the man killed that you committed adultery with his wife? Honey, I'm telling you, listen to me. When David said, "God, you've got plenty of mercy. God, you're ready to forgive." I'm telling you, brother, he wasn't writing that down, Brother Chris, because he heard some theologian say it. He was writing it down because he remembered that time in Psalm 51 where he said, "Oh God, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." He remembered when he bowed down and said, "God, created me a clean heart. I'm talking 13 months of pure guilt, and it's all gone because there's a God in heaven that's ready to forgive."
Amen. Amen.
It's got plenty of mercy.
Yeah.
You say, "Oh, preacher, you don't know what I've done." No, but he does. Yeah. "You don't know where I've been." No, I don't, but he does. But I do know this, I don't care what you've done, I don't care where you've been, I don't care what's on your heart this morning, there's a God in heaven that's ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive. Turn with me to Psalm 51 for just a moment. We ain't going to get very far, but that's all right. Psalm 51. I want you to see just a little bit of this. Psalm 51. David, he's been approached now by the prophet Nathan. And David, he knows something now. He knows that God has his number. How many's ever been down that road where you thought you had it covered up. You thought you had it buried. But I'm going to tell you, really for the believer, it's a happy day when you realize God's got your number. And there ain't nowhere to run but to him. There ain't nowhere to hide because it's all open to him, to whom we have to do with. The Bible said here, Nathan, he came and he told David that story about that little ewe lamb. And David said, the man that's done this thing shall surely die. Boy, it's easy to pass judgment on somebody else, ain't it? But Nathan, look, I won't argue with you, but I'm telling you, Jonathan was a great friend of David. They loved each other as their own soul. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe one of the greatest friends that David ever had in this world was Nathan. That man that was willing, Brother Caleb, to stand toe to toe with him and say, you're the man. You're the man I'm talking about here. You're the man that's guilty. And David realized God had his number. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. It was no longer somebody else in the kingdom that David was worried about or concerned about. It was himself. And beloved, he said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. According to what I've been able to study, there's about 13 months that's gone by now. Are you listening? He's committed adultery with Bathsheba. He got Uriah drunk. He had Uriah killed. He thinks it's all covered up now. We can just go on. About 13 months of time went by. I believe this sin was just like a cancer down on the inside of David. It was eating him alive until a man of God come along and said, you're the man. I'm telling you, this man, David, that said, God, you're ready. You got plenty of mercy. You're good. This man knew what he was talking about. He said, here, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. You know, that's hard for us to believe sometimes, that we can so mess up, and yet God can come along and do a better job cleaning up than we did messing up. Say amen. That's hard for us to believe. But David said, God, if you'll wash me, I'll be whiter than snow. Brother John said something the other night. He's talking about it just come across his mind that wouldn't it be wonderful if you could walk down that aisle and experience what you did the first time. Amen. When God cleaned you up and God took that burden off of you. I said this for years. If a man can be saved again, show me where the line is. Glory to God. I'll sign up right now. Say amen. There's nothing like being clean before a holy God. Amen. Nothing. David said, wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. You say, Pastor, what happened? I'm going to tell you, listen, I'm not exaggerating. But when a man's right with God, the birds sound different. When a man's right with God, that baby's cry sounds different. That when a man's right with God, his children that say daddy or his grandchildren that holler papaw, it sounds different when a man's right with God. And the Bible said, make me to hear joy and gladness. David's joy was gone. His gladness was gone. That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. He said, here, hide thy face from my sin and blot out all mine iniquities. I'm going to tell you something. If God does the blotting out, he don't do a partial job. He does a good job. Say amen. A couple years ago, I stood over the shoulder of the mechanic. He put new injectors in my truck. My truck has 343,000 miles on it now. I don't drive it much. It's got the little one, the little black truck, but my old Chevrolet. And one thing that I'll never forget, Turtle, I'll never forget when he pulled them valve covers off and that intake off and the valve covers off. I'll never forget looking down on the inside of that engine. I'll never forget how clean it was down in there. I've been running AMSOIL since that truck had a little over 100,000 miles on it. And you say, you're going to brag on AMSOIL? I sure am. That thing was clean. I'm telling you, brother, you could eat a grilled cheese sandwich off of it down in there. It was clean. You say, Pastor, why did you bring that up in the message? Because I'm telling you, that AMSOIL kept that motor in good shape. The compression's great. It runs like a new one. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, the only thing that keeps this preacher in good shape is that precious blood of Calvary's Lamb. The Bible said, listen, if we say that we're without sin, we make him a liar. And David said, beloved, he didn't even know 1 John, but he knew that if we confess our sin, he's faithful, he's just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can look down inside of me. You can look on the outside and see my flaws. But I will tell you, if you can look down on the inside, David, when he said, white as snow, I'm telling you, hallelujah, there's a part of me that's white as the driven snow.
Amen.
Because Jesus, he don't do no halfway job. He washes white.
Amen.
The Word of God said here, beloved, he's ready to forgive. He said, renew a right spirit in me. He said in verse 12, in verse 11, he said, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I've tried to teach you this through the years. I hope you've got it. Amen. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament economy is different than in the New Testament economy, because in the Old Testament economy, he would come upon a man and empower a man, and then he had the ability to leave that man. That's what he did with Saul. And David realized that. He's in the Old Testament economy. David realized, God, you could take your hand off of me. He said, God, don't do that. Please don't do that. Don't take your hand off of me. Let me repent. And God, beloved, the Bible said, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Why did David get that joy back? Because there was a God that's good, that's ready to forgive and had plenty of mercy. Boy, I tell you what, if we knew all of the sin that was represented here today, you say, I wouldn't make a statement like that. I'm going to tell you something right now. God knows our frame. He knows that we're but flesh. You can shine your halo if you want to, honey. But I'm going to tell you right now, if we knew all of it here today, I just wanted to say this. He's got enough mercy to cleanse it all. He's got enough grace to cleanse it all. He's got enough, beloved, listen, goodness to cleanse it all. And he wants us to know this morning, he's ready to do just exactly that. The Word of God said here, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Brother John, think about what David's saying right here. You know what he's saying? I'm ready to go now. Glory to God. God's done went and cleaned me up. Amen. Now I'm ready to go. Now I'm ready for the trumpet. Amen. Now I'm ready. Now I'm dressed again. Say amen. I put on the righteousness of the Lord. And beloved, now I can have a life that's effective for the kingdom of God. He said, deliver me from blood guiltiness. Oh God, the God of my salvation and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. You know, some of y'all need your song back. Amen. Amen. Brother Dale, I know you know this, but a song from the lips is one thing, but a song from right there, it's another thing. Did you know that you can be crossways with God and keep on singing from the lips? But did you know you're going to have to get your heart right with God to sing from the heart? You're going to have to meet this God that's ready to forgive, that's got plenty of mercy. This God that's good. Isn't it something, Brother Chris, what God put on your heart in the prayer room, what the choir sang, what the special was? It's all pointing towards a good God. Say amen.
Amen.
It's ready to forgive. The Bible said here, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. Did you know I believe this? I believe you can be crossways with God and keep doing the right thing. How many remembers that spray the other night? How many remembers that? I got an email or text Brother Keith and see what the name of that is. Amen. Anyway, did you know, beloved, listen. What's that verse there say, brother, that last verse? It's on, please, read the first part of it. The last verse in Psalm 51.
Then shalt thou be pleased.
Then shalt thou be pleased. Did you know, beloved, that we can't do anything to please him if we're crossways with him in our heart? If there's something in there that we know ain't right, you know what's going to please you? Just laying that out there on the altar and saying, God, this ain't right. You know it ain't right, and I know it ain't right.
Right.
In other words, David couldn't please the Lord until David met the Lord in faith and got cleaned up. Say amen.
Amen.
Got that clean heart down on the inside. And when David did that, then David knew that he could please the Lord. He knew that his sacrifice, that his praise would be accepted before the Lord. And I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to uncouple right there. I just want you to know that there's a God in heaven that's ready to forgive. If we could interview just a few people this morning, we'll go back to that psalm tonight. This is kind of just an introduction. And what's sad, there'll be at least probably half of this crowd won't be here tonight. So you'll just get the introduction. I'm not fussing at you. But I'm going to tell you, there's a day coming you're going to stand before God. You're going to have to explain to him how that sporting event or how that TV program or whatever it is more important than the house of God. Your pastor's trying to help you.
Amen.
I'm trying to help you. Because I know I'm going to stand before him. And you are too.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, we dig into that Psalm 86. It's going to be wonderful. But let's interview just a couple people before we go. Let's interview the woman at the well. What would she say, Brother Chris? She'd say, Chris Price, you better believe it. He's ready to forgive. You understand? He told me that I done been hooked up with five different men, and the one I was hooked up with now wasn't my own. Do you understand that I was filthy and I was guilty? But that woman would say, do you understand? He had mercy on me. I tell you, she'd say, I went back to the town different than the way I went to the well. And others got in. Amen.
Amen.
You could interview that thief on the cross. That thief on the cross would say something like this. What do you think, Mr. Thief? He'd say, well, I can't tell you enough. I wasted my life. I lived in sin all my life. All I knew how to do was to steal. All I knew how to do was wrong. And I looked over at him one day. I was dying and he was dying. And I said, Lord, remember me. He'd say, I have to tell you, he's ready to forgive. He's got plenty of mercy. I wasted my whole life, but he forgave me that day. And here I am in glory. Because there's a God that cleanses from all sin. A God that's ready to forgive. They bring a woman in front of a bunch of Pharisees. Throw her down there. I don't know this. I mean, she may not have had many clothes on. She may not have had any clothes on. Because the Bible said they caught her in adultery in the very act. Let's interview that woman. She said, I was so embarrassed by my sin. Oh, I was so embarrassed to get caught. But can I tell you, I can't explain to you the kindness in his voice. I can't explain to you how that when he looked at me, I knew he loved me. I can't explain to you, but I can tell you, I wasn't ready to be forgiven when they brought me in there, but he was ready to forgive.
Amen.
Oh, it could take you down through the pages of the Bible. Interview after interview after interview. You could ask a man that was in charge of the jail. He would say, I had the sword. I was leaning on it. I was ready to take my own life because I knew they was going to kill me for letting them prisoners go. But he said, I heard a voice say, do thyself no harm. We're all here. Can I tell you that I looked over at Paul and Silas and I said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. Can I tell you? He was ready to forgive. And he didn't just forgive me. He forgave my wife. He forgave my children. And I found myself that night, I'd been beating on those men and putting the stripes on. I found myself washing them stripes. Sorry that I'd beat those men for their faith. But God is ready to forgive.
Amen.
He's ready. He's ready to forgive. When there's two believers, or a believer and an unbeliever that's got crossways with each other, God is ready to forgive. I'll never have to wonder if God is ready. David said, I've been there. I've been there. There's maybe a lot I can't tell you. There's one thing I can. He's good. He's ready to forgive. And he's got plenty of mercy. One day, James, Brother Jason, is going to look in the mirror of God's word. Somebody will be preaching. Maybe daddy will be praying at the house. He's going to look in the mirror of God's word and it's going to reflect. James, he can't go to heaven because daddy's going. He can't go to heaven because mama's going. He can't go to heaven because papa's going. And it's going to dawn on him. If I want to go to heaven, I'm going to have to go the same way daddy's going. They sang a song the other night. We have come by the way of the cross. Honey, everybody in heaven's coming the same way. You say, Pastor, it hadn't even happened in the Old Testament. No, but if you look, that Old Testament's pointing towards Calvary. And we're pointing back to Calvary. It's all about Calvary.
Amen.
A God that's ready to forgive.
Amen.
Jason, you won't have to say so. Now, wait a minute. Let Daddy talk to you a minute. We got to figure something out here. We got to figure out if God's ready to forgive you or not. Won't even cross your mind. Because we serve a God that's ready to forgive. That rich young ruler went away sorrowful. It breaks a pastor's heart when Sunday after Sunday he watches people go away sorrowful when there's a God in heaven that's ready to forgive. Sister Bessie, I'll never forget your home that night, that Monday night. I'll never forget that. God was ready to forgive, wasn't he? He'd been ready a long time, ain't he, honey? Use the hard-headed one. Say amen. Amen. He was ready to forgive. But see, he was ready Sunday morning too, wasn't he? I didn't know it. What I mean is I didn't know. I just went back to her and told her I loved her and I was glad she's here. I said, honey, if I'd asked you if you wanted to be saved, what would you? She said, I'd have said yes. She said, I was standing in the vestibule and you was talking to people and I wanted to drag you back in there. Isn't it a happy day when somebody understands there's a God in heaven?
Amen.
That's ready. He's good. He's ready to forgive.
Amen.
And he's plenteous in mercy. He's, how much mercy does God have? Enough to save the whole world. Enough to save the whole world. Father in heaven, I've done my best this morning to share what you put on my heart. God, I pray this morning that somehow, some way, someone would realize our Father. Could be a believer here, Lord, that it's been so long since they've had the joy of the Lord in their heart. Could be, Lord, that they just need to understand and realize you're ready to forgive. There's no shame, Lord, in just bowing in an old-fashioned altar and saying, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I pray this morning you'll work in hearts. I pray, Lord, for the one that's lost. God, I pray, Lord, that they'd understand this morning that if that rich young ruler could come back, he'd say, forget about my riches. He's ready to forgive me. I want to be forgiven. Oh, God, this morning, work in this invitation, I pray. Have your way, Lord. God will give you glory. We're going to stand together. I'm going to sing a song of invitation. I'm going to ask if you will to come. Come. God's ready. He's ready to forgive. Would you come? Would you come this morning? He's ready.